And when you and I make choices, we have to be very sure that the choices are based on the wisdom that comes from above.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, December 29th, 2024. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Learning to Number Our Days. And our text comes to us from Psalms chapter 90, verse 12, and James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
This is the last Sunday of 2024. And what a year it has been. I, for one, do not want to repeat 2024. I am looking forward to 2025. Do I have a choice? We don't have a choice. But I do have a choice as to how I can plan to live my life in this coming year. And so I have a couple of texts that I'd like for us to look at Scripture, because I really believe it's important for us to set ourselves for success and to look at 2025 as a year of great opportunity to be a blessing to those around us, to bring glory to God, and to see that His kingdom is extended in our lives and in the world today. Yes. You and I have such a unique opportunity to be Christians, disciples of Christ, followers of the Lord, men and women who will change the destiny of so many, because you would simply deploy in your heart a desire to please God. So I have two scriptures. Let's see the first one up in the board. And it's first one of my favorite Psalms 90. This is aged Moses that is writing and reminiscing as to the time and space and this and that and the other. And then he comes to a sobering, somewhat of a conclusion when he says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. See, we gain a heart of wisdom. It's not given to us. We gain it. We obtain it. We seek it. So the exhortation this day is for us to, don't take it off again, put it back up again. It's for us, for you and for me, for the Lord to teach us to number our days. Your days are numbered. We may have. And so we need to look at our every day of our lives and say that in every day of our lives, we may gain a heart of wisdom. Then there's the second scripture, and that's found in James, because it tells us the types of wisdom that we can accelerate our lives. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by a good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Verse 14. But if you harbor bitter enmity and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and spiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from above is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And the last verse, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. May God bless the reading of His word. Wisdom is what it's all about. 2025, the choice for wisdom. Wisdom is a lot more than simple understanding or knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to put into practice that which you know. In the scriptures, biblical wisdom means God helping us make decisions as how God would make decisions. How does God resolve problems? Well, that's wisdom. And you and I need to acquire wisdom so that we can interact with others, so that we can make decisions, so that we can live under the shadow of the Almighty God. That we don't make quick decisions or act out of character as being the children of God. So it's a lot more than just understanding or knowing things. It is moral, and it's spiritual discernment. It is an extra plus in the arsenal of your life that helps you to understand that you can resolve issues in your life with God's help and God's understanding. That you don't rely on yourself, but that you rely on the Lord. And we say that because you and I have an opportunity to deploy good wisdom, good understanding. However, as James says, there is wisdom from above, there is earthly wisdom, and there is demonic wisdom that are available to you and to me, even as we are Christians, for James is written to God's people. And so let's look at those three kinds of wisdom that we need to be concerned about, that we need to understand that as you and I live our life, we're deploying some sort of wisdom. Wisdom, again, the ability to resolve problems, putting into practice the things that you know. Well, the wisdom from above is the one that we all want. And when James addresses the wisdom from above, it says that it's pure and it's peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial, sincere. Oh, the bar is so high. It's because it's from above. And the Lord shows us a better way to live. The Lord shows us a way in which we can experience life differently than the rest of the world because Christ is in us. And we follow him. And he shows us how to live the life. By using God's wisdom in our everyday life, it's a wisdom that reflects the character of God. Hey, you're a Christian. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. You're a child of God. There's got to be a difference between you and the rest of the world. And it's demonstrated in so many different ways, consciously and unconsciously. For instance, you will be humble. There's a certain humbling experience in the life of the Christian who follows the Lord and encounters real issues in life. It's righteous living. You choose to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Wisdom allows you to do justice and to promote peace and to have mercy. Whew, this is high stuff. Now put it into practice. That's the whole point, you see. But it's available to you and to me so that we can align ourselves with God's will in our life. That we don't go off on a tangent. That we don't derail our faith in the Lord. That we kind of like think twice before we act. And that we ask the Lord to help us to live the right life for his glory and for our own sake as well. There's a peace that needs to come to your life and my life as you ask the Lord to help you resolve the issues. You know, before the service and after the service and last year and whatever, you know, we wrestled with issues and been wrestling with a couple of issues at the university, and Dr. Darino knows about this, and I think he's about the only one that really knows because we work together there. And this morning I said, I have come to a conclusion. And he looks at me, you know, he's always concerned when I reach a conclusion. We may not sometimes go along with the conclusion, but I'm saying I reach a conclusion. And I said, as clear as from one day to the next, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's wisdom. Because it means that God is in charge at the beginning and at the end. That you can't pull something on God. God is in charge of our life. And that leads to peace. I was expecting you to applaud, but anyways, okay. Okay, here we go. Strike one. But it's so important for us to depend on the Lord for guidance in our lives and not to retaliate, because that's the second type of wisdom, and it's called earthly wisdom. James talks about it. But look, when you do it on your own, when you don't allow the Lord to help you process things that are going on in your life, all of a sudden, this is what happens. You become bitter. Have you ever been bitter? I mean, I'm the only one that's there have been times in my life that I've been so bitter that bitter doesn't describe it. Because people do things to you. You didn't ask for it. It just came. Things that hurt you. And you kind of like, what in the world? Soy un argentino yo. Or I'm Mexican. Or I'm Nicaraguan. Or whatever. I'm an American. Worse. Earthly wisdom causes you to retaliate. And there's bitterness. And there's envy. There's selfish ambition. Even evil practices. You got to get even. Do it to them before they do it to me. I'm not asking you to lay down as a rug and for people to step all over you, but I'm asking for an attitude of your heart where all of a sudden worldly power struggles are not your mantle. It's not your way. You bring the Lord into the mix and say, Lord, you know what I could do. You know what I could do, Lord. And the Lord says, yeah, I know what you can do. Help me not to do that, Lord. Lord, give me wisdom because I don't want to manipulate the system. I want you to touch my life. I don't want to ruin a witness for your glory just simply because I've been hurt. But there's a lot of us that are still in the carnal mode, you know. And I remember that. I actually didn't not remember, but I said some of us. I didn't say some of you. We're all included in this. So that's why we have to be alert. And we have to say, Lord, teach me how to develop a heart with wisdom. A heart that addresses the issues from your perspective and not from my own selfishness. There's a third type of wisdom. James calls it demonic. You know, we're not talking about demons floating around. I'm talking about rebellion against God. The Bible tells us that one third of the angels in heaven rebelled against God. And it leads to destruction. Some people can get so bitter and so upset that they self-destroy. I have met two or three people in my life that I've never known them to be anything but bitter. Have you ever met a bitter person? You see, this person is bitter. Yesterday, today, and forever. They just won't change. And they anchored themselves on something that happened 50 years ago. Well, maybe not that much, but 20 years ago. And they won't let it go. They will not let it go. And they are mean in their hearts. And every time that you try to speak to them words of peace, they bring it up again. And they are against the things that God wants to do in their lives. And they're looking for destruction. Demonic wisdom leads to destruction. It encourages you to make choices against the will of God. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's what he wants to do in your life and my life. And when you and I make choices, we have to be very sure that the choices are based on the wisdom that comes from above. The earthly one is the one we wrestle mostly. But be careful with that third one, because it's not that far from earthly stuff to a rebellion against God himself. Okay, can I hear an amen? Amen. Hey, I only coughed once, so. So Moses, the aged man, says you need to choose the right wisdom. You need to choose wisdom. And that's why he says in Psalms 90, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What a concept, to number your days. You thought you were eternal? Wake up. You're not. That is to say, there is a time in this earth and then it will end. And it's a time that's allotted by God. And you can't push one way or the other. I was doing a hospital call before I got into all this mess, physical mess, popping my head out. And I was talking with this lady in the hospital that used to come to our church. It's a long story, but basically this person said, intensive care, and said, okay, he says, I want the Lord to touch me. And if the Lord touches me, think of it, I will visit your church. I said, no, I don't want you visiting my church. I want you to make church your home. What's this idea of visiting church? Look, I said, God has given you this number of years. And how you spend those number of years is up to you. But there's going to come a time when those years will end. And then you will have no more. Pero qué silencio, Lucho. Yo creo que me voy a ir. No sé a dónde, pero me voy. You have so many number of years, and then the Lord will call you. And in those number of years, you and I are to choose the right kind of wisdom, developing our discipleship with Jesus, developing our time with Jesus, understanding how we are to live this life. Seeking God's wisdom should be a task in our hearts and in our lives, because our days are limited and numbered. You have an opportunity to live those years as you so choose. Choose wisdom from God, from above. Learn how to live as Christ would live if he would be you. So, choose wisdom from above. And it will shape the way you live. It will. And time is short. And we're accountable for all the decisions that we make. And there's going to come a time when your days are over. And then you'll be in the presence of the Lord. I thought that was going to happen to me a couple of days ago. Coughing up and with fever. And, you know, we all go through it. It was a bad case of the flu. But in my case, I have allergies and complicated, and the fires up there and the detergents that they used to put out the fires and all. I'm human. What do you want to do? You want to hit me? Go ahead, hit me. I'm human. But comes a time when you no longer will be here. And in the accumulation of your time, you need to have the Lord help you so that you can do what is right. You and I are not guaranteed another day. But how we use our time is important. And the exhortation as we say goodbye to 2024, we need to say, Lord, help us that in 2025 we will deploy wisdom in our lives. So how do you get access to wisdom? Well, first of all, I want you to know that wisdom is a gift of God. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. There are some things in our life that we think God will give to us because we look so pretty. We get saved by grace, but then we need to work with fear and trembling our salvation. It means that we are involved in the process of redemption. We're involved in God's nurturing our heart and life. We ask. We knock. We do those things so that we will have an answer so that God will speak to us. We seek him so we can find him. There has to be an effort from your part. in seeking wisdom from God. He says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God is willing to give you wisdom from above. That's extraordinary. He doesn't leave you to float around in your misery. And doesn't leave you to the wiles of the enemy or the carnality that you have been able to muster. Strike two. I better hurry up. So it's a gift from God. So that means you need to seek wisdom. You need to do so through prayer, through a close relationship with God. But I would say that it requires humility. It requires humility from your part. Humility. It's a concept. It requires for you to get into the Word. It's a key to get into God's Word, but to receive wisdom from the Scriptures. Because it is in the Word of God that you find keys to navigate through life. It is through the Word of God that He speaks to you, and you're able to understand what you need to do next. The Lord speaks to you. He shows you things to come. He enlightens your heart, but you have to look to God's Word. Some people say we should read Proverbs all the time. Well, all I can tell you is that living wisely is found throughout the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelations. And once you find God speaking to you as you meditate in His Word and as you seek Him, saying, Lord, help me to resolve the issues in life. And often we don't even know what issues in life are above us or in front of us or what we will face tomorrow. But we, by being in the Word, there's a preemptive strength of God in your life that shows you things to come without you even knowing. It prepares you for that moment. Then once you know that, once you heard God, then you need to do something very important, and that is to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and to carry through what He says. In other words, we need to obey the leading of the Lord, but not obey in the sense of a slave driver, but obey because of the gentleness of the Spirit that shows you this is how it's done. The Lord doesn't push you around. He just opens the door and you see it and you walk through it. The Lord is gentle, wonderful, caring. He's not a taskmaster. He's not a dictator. He's the lover of your soul. He knows all about you. And He says, this is how you do it. So in the struggle that I mentioned before, I was telling Dr. Darino, hey, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ooh, what peace. God's in charge. No matter what anybody else says, no matter what anything happens, He's in charge. Amen. Of course, you have to be to where I was to understand the significance of those words. And I don't live your life, you live your life, but you know what it means when God speaks to you and you say, oh, this makes sense. When you read God's Word, God speaks to you. I remember a person one time was reading the genealogies as we're getting blessed. Supposed to laugh at that one. You know what the genealogies are, right? All the names of the people. I read those names, and if my name would be there, I'd be happy, but can't find my name there. But it's amazing how God speaks to you and how He shows you, and you slide into obedience. But there's something else here. Wisdom also, for the better or for the worse, the role of experience and trials, that part of the wisdom fabric of your life and my life, often the difficulties of life teach us wisdom. And you can't avoid that. I used to think that if I was good enough, and would do the right thing, I would not have a single trial in my life. What a joke. No. You and I go through challenges and difficult ones. And this is when you call on God and say, how am I to proceed? How am I to live? How am I to process this that's upon me? How do I process this, Lord? And wisdom from above shows you how. First of all, please, don't ever forget to be humble in the hands of the Lord. And when you do that, you become more attuned to his will. And all of a sudden you say, you know, it's true. All things work together for good. I don't like what I'm going through, but somehow, some way, God picks it up and shows you that he will bring a blessing to you. By the way, what choice do you have? You either trust the Lord with it and rest in his wisdom, knowing that he's in charge of your life, or you become carnal, upset, kick the dog or the cat, or starve the canary, whatever pet you have, or you become furious with God and become bitter. See, you lose, but you gain when you humble before the Lord. Say, Lord, let your will be done in this. Amen, anybody? Amen. I'm just getting you ready for 2025. Well, let me just conclude by saying that this wisdom leads to peace. Well, wisdom from above leads to peace, yes. Because it's God working in your life. It says, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. You try to figure it out. You can't. Talk to Job. He giveth and he taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Only someone who puts his heart and life in God's hands can say, God is in charge of my life. I will not fear what man will do to me. And when you pursue that in your heart, and you will do what is known as godly living, I'm going to live for the Lord, it enables you to make the right choices and decisions that bring about God's will in your life. And people will look at you and say, wow, you should be down. Inside you may want to die, but from the outside, the Lord is your shield. And the Lord gives you strength. And before you know it, there's a transformation of your character, of your person. Not behavior modification. No, character change. The inside of you changes. Your heart changes. Your will changes. The you changes. You become more and more like Jesus, who gave of himself. He said, no one takes my life, I give it up. And you and I say, no one takes my life, I willingly give it to the Lord. Let God take care of my life. So my conclusion, 2025, wisdom is a divine gift for living well. So you need to pursue wisdom in your life, brothers and sisters. We need to pursue the Lord Jesus in our lives. He's made unto us wisdom, Scripture says. In other words, Christ is in you. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. There's so many resources that he has placed within your heart that come alive when you reflect on his word. When you take time with him. I love the fact that we are saved by faith, but it's a mistake to think that once saved, everything is done. We preach the gospel of what Dallas calls it sin management. You know, my sins are forgiven. I'm going to hell when I die. Yeah, but between now and then, what? When you live for the glory of God, we become his disciples. We become more like him. We acquire wisdom to live the life of a child of God. And so through prayer, Bible study, obedience, wise decisions based on humility, will cultivate a life that 2025 will cause us to shine for the glory of God. So there's your challenge, brothers. And basically, there's an old hymn of the church that said, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Amen. No other way. You trust him. You obey him. In the midst of the trial, in the midst of the circumstance, in the midst of the issue, in the midst of whatever comes, you trust him. You obey him. You are seeking his wisdom, his ability in your life to resolve the issues that you face today. So whatever it may be, there's a God who loves you, and there's a God who challenges you to count your days so that you can find in them wisdom, so that your heart can settle, I'm going to do God's will. So no matter what happens, God is first in your life. Oh, and let me tell you, you will always have at your disposal demonic and earthly wisdom. You must say no to that. You must willingly say, I'm going to do God's way in everything in my life. You do that, and you will be a life that is transformed. Not only will you yourself be transformed, but people around you will know that you've been hanging around with Jesus. 2025 will be a year where we will devote ourselves to the spirit, the disciplines of prayer and the disciplines of silence and the disciplines of solitude and the disciplines of seeking God in so many different ways. A life that is simply waiting for God to manifest himself in our lives in the areas that often we don't present to him, in the areas that sometimes we struggle, in the areas that we don't want to somehow, some way confide, but we will do so in the Lord. And so we will bring this to him and say, Lord, you know, I still have some issues, but will you help me with this? And as we spend time with him, in the privacy of your own life, and in church as a community, you will begin to see the Lord working in your life by bringing to you streams of wisdom where he will touch those areas, and you'll feel so much better, so much better. And all of a sudden, the Lord will reign in your life, and you will simply say, I am simply trusting and obeying God's way in my life. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You know, I'm done. I got one more cough to go, right? Shall we stand? So, Lord, we are cognizant of those who are not with us this Sunday morning and are in need of your touch. Pray for Carmen. Pray for Yvette, for Yvonne. Pray, Lord, for Juanito. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would touch those who are in need, that you would just minister life to them in their bodies. I pray for those who are going through difficulty at their job. I pray for those who are going through difficulties in their lives. But Lord, you know all about it, Lord. We pray for Brother Kim this morning. We don't see him today. We pray that you would work in ways in which only you know how to work, Lord. We pray for Barbie, Lord. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help her cousin with third stage ovarian cancer. We pray for John all the way from Kenya, Lord. having needs, Lord. We pray that you would bless John, that you would provide for his needs, Lord. Lord, we pray for your strength to come upon us, and that as we face 2025, we will do so in absolute confidence and certainty that you go before us, Lord. Lord, thank you for being already in 2025. Thank you, Lord, that as we enter into that new year, we will find you there, Lord, in strength and in power and in healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Lord, and amen. Amen. Let's sing this.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on.
How many are giving 2025 in the hands of the Lord? Amen. And how many are going to say, God, Lord, I need more wisdom? Anybody? Amen. Oh, some of you. How many need more than just a little bit? Yeah. Well, find it by reading the Word. Find it by thinking about the Lord. Find it by asking the Lord, Lord, how would you resolve this issue if I would be you? Ooh, what a horrible thing to say. No, it's a wonderful thing to say. How would God do that? I've done that. Lord, how would you resolve this? And then let it play out, and you will see the glory of the Lord. That's an old hymn of the church, you know, Trust and Obey. How many knew that song? How many knew that song? Some of you are kind of young. Some of you are kind of young, and some of us are kind of old. That's. But it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you with arms wide open. Amen. He welcomes you. It is no secret what God can do. Wonderful. Ah, I love it. How many say amen?
Amen.
All right, church. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Until next year, Happy New Year. God bless you. You're dismissed this Sunday morning.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.